for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show hosts and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Good evening, everyone. It is 8:01 on Thursday, January 30th, 2020. Can't believe we're a month into the new year already. I am Dave. I am flying solo tonight, and this is Penetrating the Veil with Keystone State Paranormal Society. Tonight's episode is going to be kind of a personal one for me because it's going to be centered around something that happened to me last evening that has never happened to me before, and I hope it happens again. Welcoming in Kathy Eisenhardt on the live feed. Appreciate joining in, Kathy. I had the most vivid dream last night. So much so that when I woke up from it, I literally had to... I had to call and tell somebody, and the only person at that time that I knew was awake was our other team member, Janet Jones. Welcome in, Samantha. Welcome in, Holly. Welcome in, Haley. So what's going to happen tonight is I wrote everything down in as great a detail as I can remember. Elaine Finnegan, new for the first time, welcome in. Thanks for joining. So what's going to happen is we're going to have Haley call in, and I am going to read off everything that I wrote down, all the details that I remember from this dream, and then Haley, because she's so awesome at it, at least in my opinion, is going to do some dream interpretation. So let's not waste any time. Hi, Amy. Welcome in. This happened last night, Wednesday night into Thursday morning. Welcome, Lance from the UK. Thanks so much for tuning in. We really appreciate it. This is the most realistic dream that I've ever had, to the point where at certain points of this dream, things were happening. It's almost like I was only semi-asleep and can feel them happening. So it started off. It was myself and four other people, and we were in this house, at least two stories. I don't know if it had a basement, but it was a main level and an upstairs. And we were doing an investigation. Andrew Darling, welcome in. But again, none of the other people were my teammates. There was a couple that was a man and a woman couple that I would say were probably in their 30s, 33 to 37, somewhere in there. There was a gentleman who is a little bit older than me, probably about 51 or 52. And then there was a younger girl who was maybe 25 to 27. And for some reason, this girl and I had some kind of a bond. I don't know if it was a little sister or it was her first time and I was kind of protective of her, whatever it was. There was... throughout this dream, anywhere that I went, she was within arm's reach. She did not leave my side. Welcome in, Colette. Welcome in, Stephanie. Lane, we are based in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania. Welcome in, my friend Mike Lau. William Antonio, welcome in. So we're on the main level, on the ground level, and there's beautiful old hardwood floors. And when I say old, I mean like Civil War old, but still in fairly good condition, but they were solid wood. These were not laminate or anything like that. And I was sitting in this chair that was like an old school chair, the metal chair with the wood seat and the wood piece on the back, And I even went so far today as to look up on the internet pictures so I could welcome Christina down so I could find them and show them to you. So I'm going to turn the camera so you can see. This, that is the type of chair I was sitting on, this one. And I was sitting in there from the time the dream started. So at no point did I sit down. When the dream started, I was already seated. So we're discussing how we're going to do the investigation that night, or tonight, in the dream. And we're hearing movement, activity, things banging around, shuffling upstairs. So as I'm sitting there and we're talking about this, I get a feeling someone or something grabs the back of the chair and pulls it back so that I am now backwards like this, on tilted up on just the back two legs. And I get pulled across the entire room, which I would say was about 10 yards. It was a large open room, to the base of the stairs that went up to a landing and then turned and went up to the second level. I remember the carpet on the stairs was like an old 60s or 70s shag type of carpet with the long fibers, and it was a beige-ish, orange-ish, yellowish, just not a very attractive color, but it was clean. It wasn't filthy or anything. And I heard a woman, as I get to the base of the stairs in this chair, whisper in my ear, "Come upstairs." So, of course, I get out of the chair, I go upstairs. There's a wrought iron railing that went the length of the stairs up, and then when you got to the top of the stairs, there's no wall here. It was just that wrought iron railing here as well. And you could look over it and look down the stairs. Against that railing, I'm now looking into this big open living room. Against the railing with its back was a couch. Directly in front of me, with its back against a wall that separated this living room from a kitchen, was an oversized chair. Not quite big enough to be a love seat. Welcome in, Pamela Berry. But big enough that two people could kind of scrunch in next to each other and get cozy. On the opposite side of the room, Alicia Lowe and Becky Hancock McDonald, welcome in. Thanks for joining. On the opposite side of the room was what looked like a giant metal basin that you would stack wood in for this wood-burning stove, which there was a wood-burning stove right next to it. But there wasn't wood in this container. It actually had what looked like an oversized wine rack, and all of our shoes were in it. And I distinctly remember seeing my steel toe boots that I wear every day in this bin. And I immediately look into the kitchen, so I go into the kitchen. The kitchen was blank. It was white. Everything was white. The wood cupboards were plain, bare bones, white, no inlays, no decorative carvings on the doors, nothing, just plain, white, old, maybe 1950s or 60s old farmhouse white wooden cabinets. The only decorative part of them was at the ends, it beveled, like beveled in like this, to meet the back that was flat. So as I get in there, the other four people come up behind me, and they're now on the kitchen. And I do remember the only appliance that I can remember in this kitchen was one of the oversized I don't know if they're called butcher sinks or whatever, that you would see in a farmhouse, where it actually stuck out beyond the edge of the cabinetry, much like, I don't know if you can see it, much like that sink right there. So as we're standing in this kitchen now, all of the cabinet doors start slamming open and close, open and close, open and close, just repeatedly, just different ones at different times. And at no point throughout this entire event did I feel threatened or scared or freaked out or something negative is here, nothing. I was amazed and I was happy and I was laughing. Can you believe how great this is? And I go to the cabinet that is closest to the doorway between this kitchen and that main living room, which was not a normal size doorway. It was wide enough that two people could pass each other without having to touch. It was a larger doorway. And that cabinet was a 6-foot pantry cabinet, and then about a foot above that, go towards the ceiling, was a smaller cabinet. And I remember sticking my hand on that top cabinet and forcefully trying to hold it shut, and this thing is just open and closing, pushing me out of the way. And I'm giddy, I'm laughing, this is great, this is great. As this happens, I distinctly remember the younger girl is right on my hip. Like, she is right, she's not going, I can't move without her following me, like we're tethered. I look into the living room again, and I see that all the shoes in that oversized wine rack shoe holder, whatever it was, were sticking straight out, like someone had grabbed them and was holding them out stiff, all of them. And I turned to say, you know, guys, come look at this. And just before I did, I see an apparition come at me, and it was wearing like one of those Halloween costumes, those full body suits, but it wasn't, it was black, but it wasn't sheen and gloss and satiny. It was matte, flat black, almost like a terry cloth. And the face was like white, like a kabuki mask, like an old Asian kabuki mask. And it's coming, it's floating at me. And I turn my head this way, and as I do, I see it again coming up the stairs. But instead of floating this time, it, like a normal person, is walking up the stairs. And its hand is on the handrail. As this figure passes in front of my face, the black and the kabuki mask, that whole getup is now gone. And it's a woman in her early 50s, early to mid-50s, and she's wearing, I don't remember shoes, but I remember her wearing like thick wool winter socks of dark color, blue jeans, a gray T-shirt, no logo, decals, nothing, just a plain gray T-shirt. And over top of that was a flannel shirt, not a thick, padded wool flannel shirt you would wear outside like a jacket, but just a plain, welcome in Jody Nettles, just a plain, thin, long sleeve flannel shirt that was like a beigeish, brownish, and black plaid pattern. She had just below shoulder-length hair, so maybe right to where your armpit starts, straight, and it was like well-kept, and it was a very light brown. Definitely brown, but not dark, deep ember brown. Light, almost kind of like a hazel brown. And then her face was not pale like ghostly pale, but it was fair-skinned. And her lips, there was no makeup, like they weren't bright red like lipstick or something, but they were, you could see color in them. They were full lips, and they had a reddish color to them. And her eyes were a very deep hazel, almost like they were drawing you in, like, look how pretty. Like, I have these dark brown eyes. It doesn't draw anything in, right? Hers were beautiful, hazily brownish eyes. And they weren't, when I say deep, I don't mean like they were sunken in or anything. They just, it's like you could stare at them for days, you know? Very attractive eyes. And she walked right past me, and she sat into the oversized chair. Now, the oversized chair would have been facing its armrest this way, and I was standing here. So she sat in it with her back leaning against this armrest, put both of her feet up like this, and then put her arms around her legs like this, and then looked over her right shoulder like this to speak to me. So it was almost like she was familiar with the area or something, and she felt very comfortable. Welcome in, Linda Bird. And she was leaning back to tell me something. And I'm looking around, and everyone's, as it's there, is looking at me like, what are you doing? Like, they don't, like, and it dawns on me that I'm the only one that can see this lady. And so she says to me, you are the only one that can see me. I had to get you up here because this is where I am at my most powerful. It took a lot of energy, welcome in, George, a lot of my energy to drag that chair and to tell you to come up here. But it has to be up here because this is where I'm at my most powerful, that I can manifest myself to you like this. And then she says, I have a message for you. No one else can see me. This message is strictly for you. It is meant to be given only to you. And I said, okay, well, what is the message? And as she opens her mouth to speak, I wake up. In my head, this dream, this scenario played out in a time span of maybe 5 to 6 minutes. when I jumped up out of bed, I took my CPAP mask off, and I hit stop on my machine. I look, and it says I'd been asleep for an hour and 27 minutes. Even to this point, I was so excited about this dream. There's Jim. And I was so, it was so vivid and so real that I had to tell someone. There's a message for me, and I didn't get a chance to get it. I didn't know if Haley was awake. I knew Jim was sleeping, so I called Janet and talked to her, and she told me to write everything down and everything, so I did. I got it all in this document. I found pictures on the Internet of the things that I saw, and I put in as much detail as I could. What's going to happen now is we're going to get Haley to call in and do some dream interpretation of what this was about. So let me shoot her a quick message and let her know to go ahead and call in. I've never had a dream this so vivid that the point where I was being pulled in this chair, it was almost like consciously awake. I could feel myself floating in my own bed. It was very strange, but awesome at the same time. So we're going to get Haley to call in, and she's going to give us a little dream interpretation on what this is all about. Everybody says, hey, Jim.
Hello, everyone.
We had, like, nobody there tonight. I was there. I didn't have any.
Also, really quick, the name, as soon as I woke up, one name kept popping up in my brain, and even to this point now, still have one name that keeps popping in my head, and the name is Meg, M-E-G. I don't know who that is or what that is, but that's the name I'm getting. So let's bring Haley in. Hey, Haley, you there?
Yeah.
Hey, welcome in. Thanks for the short notice save.
Yeah, no problem.
So, all right, so you were watching. I just went through in as much detail as I could remember everything that I had written down about this amazing dream that I had. Why don't you just go ahead and take the floor and tell everybody what your interpretation of that is all about.
Okay, well, from the get-go, when it comes to dream interpretation, there's a few different things that can happen. There can be, all of them are very vivid, but there can be spirit interaction, there can be spirit guide interaction, and then there can be symbolism from either of the two, or even foreshadowing. There's people who can have dreams about disasters or, you know, whatever, the Hindenburg, stuff like that. Pre-shadowing, you know, like there can be predictive dreams, I'll say that. Now, when you're describing what you had, it's interesting.
I don't mean to cut you off, but predictive, you mean like premonitions?
Well, yeah, they'll see the dream, and then it'll happen. I know that my uncle actually had a dream. I think it was the Challenger, the one that the teachers were in. That one,
yeah, Challenger. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was the Challenger. Yeah. Well, he had a dream that happened, and then it did. I personally went to school with the girl who had a dream and was very, you know, adamant about this. She had a dream about the Oklahoma City bombing before it happened. And so I remember that from I was little when that happened. So it was very weird, you know, for me to hear. And she was a friend of mine, but one of those friends that I've always had, which has very different views on mine. She was very, very Christian, very with the church, very involved in it, and having a dream like this scared her. And so she told me about it because it terrified her to have the dream. And then I was with her when we found out pretty much about it. So that terrified her, and she told me about it, and I was just like, that can happen no matter what denomination you are. Like, as a little kid. But anyway, yes, there are those predictive dreams or they're premonitions of something that's going to happen. There's so many different types. You have to first narrow down what it was. When I heard this dream, it was one of two possibilities immediately for me. And that was either it was you know, an upcoming investigation and the fear of someone, you know, getting your attention beforehand, which I have seen very recently, or it was a spirit guide or a loved one, guardian angel type situation, and they're giving you a learning message. From what I understand of it, when the dream starts, you're very much not a lead in the dream. You're sitting, you know, everyone else is standing. You're sitting in a desk, in a child's desk.
Right.
So that shows me that we're starting off with a learning of some sort for you. This is new. This is something very new. You're sitting there, you're seeing something go down, and then all of a sudden, you're pulled backwards, which it can be translated to like a birth of sorts. So you're being pulled backwards. And from there on, we can go through pretty much all the stages with things happening, getting pulled backwards, and then all of a sudden the oversized chair, which is like you're a young child and you see a chair as an oversized chair. And then it goes into even adolescence with, you know, the cupboards opening and closing and the craziness. And I think pretty much this is a progression of abilities that you have been open to have. Now, one of the warnings in it that I see is that darkness, you know, appeal, where you have to not challenge everything so much as it, you know, you're inclined to do, and I understand it, as a protection of sorts.
Right.
But once you get past automatically just, and like I say about the Bel Air house, you know, look what happened with that. You were able at that time to be a protector of the group, but also not engage with the negativity. You were separate from that. And that's a very
right.
important lesson here. You must be separate from that. Engaging in it is not going to help you to kind of get these abilities that I believe it was a spirit guide of some sort who sent you this. There's a message
okay.
in it. Like it's almost like it's like an awakening dream of sorts. It's not
right.
easy to do that. It's not easy to understand spirit at all, and this is exactly why I believe that is because a lot of their messages are in dreams, and even if they're not in dreams, it's always a puzzle. You always have to put it together to make sense of it.
Right. But so this was almost like this spirit. Basically telling me, you've been awakened, now it's time for you to start seeing.
Well, I think it's a spirit guide.
Okay.
I don't think it's a spirit. I think it's a spirit
well,
guide.
No, that's
I think
what I mean. This,
one of your spirit
guide
guides
came
assigned to
you. And told me, look, now that this has happened, you have to understand that you've got to pay attention now because things are going to come to you. And you've got to pay attention to be able to see them.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to pay attention, and it's already happening. You know, I personally believe that per this dream, what I understand it to be is a spirit guide's connection telling you, taking you through the steps of what's going to happen. None of it is easy. It's very much like when you first understand, I guess, spirit, and I've seen people on all different levels do it. I happened to do it when I was the age. But it's very much like in infancy and then growing to adolescence. And when you think you kind of understand it, you don't. And then that's when you really you know, you'll get different types. Like the adolescent stages is where everything goes hectic and it's crazy before you finally say, no, I'm not insane and now I understand. You know what I'm saying? And your dream
absolutely.
Took it through the whole process of being able to see spirit and feel spirit on a different level, all the way to being able to actually understand spirit, which there is a heck of a process that goes through, and it's very long. It's not something you can learn overnight. It's not something you can learn in a couple months. You don't really, I don't think people have much of a choice in it. Now, I think that in your case, you've wanted to for a long time, you know, feel
right.
them and understand them on a different level. But until you understood not to fight everybody that you saw, like it was, you know what I'm saying? And I understand
it.
You're trying to be a protector, but at the same time, you're pushing your own abilities away by doing that. And
gotcha.
Sometimes you have to not be in a safe zone. And I know a lot of people are going to argue with that. And I don't mean be completely vulnerable. I just mean you have to recognize areas where you can improve and do so. And then once you do that, like spirit just everything opens up like floodgate. Like it's crazy. And that's where that adolescent stage comes in. And then you have to beat that, which isn't very fun.
yeah. I mean, you probably know this way more intimately than I do, but no one likes to venture outside their comfort zone until they decide they're ready. But, you know.
Yeah. And there's shadow work. The thing is when you're ready,
you
might not be. Yeah.
Right.
Like,
so,
when you're technically ready, you might feel like you're not. Well, that's what I'm saying. You don't know that you're ready.
Ready to let them see where I need to go.
Well, there's a lot of personal development in it. And that's the thing, is that there's a lot of personal development in it that you have to understand intimately with them and the connection that they have. There's a lot of what's called shadow work, meaning just, you know, anything that affects you negatively or sticks with you from the past, you have to confront and you have to get over it and you have to let go of that. And that's what I would call, if I was going to put that into a stage, I'd call that like the young adult stage. If you wanted to get into this whole thing, which I've been talking about, where your dream reminds me much of the stages of development with abilities, and it sets off with you sort of, you know, in that realm as a very new member to it. And I would call that like the young adult stage where you start to actually do the shadow work needed to, you know, to be able to let go of certain things. If you're going into a place and you have issues on any level, the darkness in that place will be able to use that against you. And that's something that I don't think I understood. I know I didn't understand when I first went in, but I've seen it with multiple people now. And if you go into a place that has a darkness like that, it will absolutely use your own negativity towards yourself and others against you.
Right.
At some point, we all have to, if you have abilities, you have, and you go into places. I mean, if you have abilities, a lot of people have abilities, but if you have abilities and you're putting yourself into the situation where you could go into a place that has an energy like this and be used and be affected negatively. Yeah. If you're going to a place like that, you have to be able to face that stuff and get over it, because you're not safe if you don't. Like,
right.
You. And to me, I think that whole dream, and other people, there's, you can interpret dreams a million different ways. to me, knowing you and knowing the transformation that you've done and how similar this dream is to, you know, the onset and the feeling of abilities, I just feel it has something to do with that.
So now, I understand now that I have got to be, I guess what I would call more unaware yet perceptive, meaning don't be looking, everything's a sign, everything's a sign, but to pay attention for when there are these signs. And, you know, that's going to come with time, I guess, trying to interpret what is and what isn't, what I was meant to see and what just happened to be there and I'm taking it the wrong way and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, yes and no. I think that you'll become more aware of signs now. You'll start to understand them more. You just have to not take everything as a threat to your team. And as the history that I know of you, you don't feel a threat for yourself so much as you feel a threat for your team. And at some point, you're going to have to realize that, we are protected as well, the rest of your team. Jim and Janet and I, we're protected. And, I mean, you are too. But it's just, you don't have to, fight with them. You know, and sometimes you'll get those people who, you'll get those spirits who are very shy and they may come across as something that you would feel very anxious, and that feeling anxious around an energy automatically puts you on edge. Doesn't mean that you need to be. And that's something that's very hard to describe, like how you get to learn the difference between it. And trust me, I still get it wrong. But, it's just, I think that you're going to be opening up to a lot. And I think it was a spirit guide that particular dream was from.
Okay. Now, I guess my next question is, and you know, I don't know if this is something you would have knowledge about or not, but I figure I might as well ask it. Like I said, I kept the name Meg over and over and over again in my head, Meg. I don't know if that's the name that was coming from this woman in this dream or not, but let's just say for argument's sake that her name was Meg. That's who this is. This is Meg, whoever Meg is. And let's say she's to be my spirit guide, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Is this a one-way thing, like, when there's something that she feels I need to know, she comes to me? Or is this something that, okay, well, we're going to go to this place. In a couple weeks, we're going to be investigating this place. We've never been there. Meg, can you come and show me something that's going to give me a hint as to what we're going to be walking into? Or is it kind of like, if I need to know, she'll let me know?
Okay. That's a good question. That's a really good question. I personally believe she's a spirit guide. Meg is just, spirit guides will also often give you a name or something to call them. She would be one of your personal spirit guides in charge of your connection with other spirits, part of that ability realm. You would have multiple spirit guides. She's one of them. She does that part. As far as you going to an investigation down the line and saying, hey, Meg, can you help me? She's not going to answer to that. She's not a spirit. She's a spirit guide. It's a different thing. She could absolutely help you with the connection that you're having, but she's already doing that if she's there. So you wouldn't really need to call her out on it. That's not like spirits and spirit guides. They're different. They don't fall under the same category as each other when it comes to what we do. Spirit's
okay, so
one thing.
Would she be
spirit
like,
different.
Operator? She's
she is one
of
your teachers. She's one of your.
Others.
No, she's one of your soul connection spirits that helps you personally on your lifetime. It only has to do
okay.
with you. That's your spirit guide. She can help, you know, sort of as an operator when it comes to spirits, as that's what her area is. But she's assigned
right.
to you. She only helps
okay.
you deal with everything else, and she can't really, you know, summon anything to a situation. She can only help you deal with it.
Okay.
Do you know
so
what I'm saying?
Like when information needs to is coming to me, and I'm not either picking up on it or understanding it, she's going to come to me in the, like she did in the dream last night, and kind of show me which way I need to be, how I need to interpret things, what I'm not understanding, something like that.
From my personal belief, when information comes to you, period, per spirit, she would have something to do with it. As a spirit guide,
okay.
she would have something to do with your connection to feel that. It's a
okay.
very weird situation, but also I do think that she will come to you in certain situations where you really need guidance on a topic, and she'll tell you things like she did in the dream. Much of spirit guide's work is not known by the person that they're a guide of. It happens, but it's not understood by us that it's them behind it. Do you know what I'm saying? What her coming to you personally is one of those extraordinary times which happens, but not routinely.
Okay. Okay. I understand what you're saying. I got you. So, because, of
yeah.
course, you explaining it that way makes me not even need to ask my next question, which was going to be, you know, can I expect, you know, to go into my dreams now and just be able to make contact with her? But, you know, obviously, no. She'll make contact
well,
with me when she feels ready to rise.
Well, you can't. Well, if you ask a spirit guide for help, they can come to you in their dreams. In your dreams
right.
is one thing. On an investigation through the Phasma box is another, is what I'm saying.
Right.
In your dreams, you have a personal connection. You can ask your spirit guides anything, and you can, you know, they will know when to tell you. If it is so needed, they will tell you. It won't always be easy to understand what they're telling you, but they'll give
okay.
you guidance. Now, they're not going to come through on a Phasma box. That's
well,
just my
course.
Personal experience.
But see, being new to all of this, one of the first things I do understand is if she is my spirit guide, then the information that she is going to pass to me is for me. So I would not, I guess, I don't know if disrespect her is the right phrase, but it's the only one I can get to come to mind. I would not want to disrespect her by trying to get her to do that in a public forum, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, she's always there to help you, and I believe you can talk to spirit guides even if you're talking out loud or, you know, just speaking them or to them in your mind, but she would be your spirit guide. She'd be attached to you. Her information, her message would be to you only, and I personally believe that because of the way the dream went, how it was an investigation setting, it had a lot to do with things that's happened in the past. It really means, you know, about your protectiveness and your ability to move on, but you have to admit you were hot-headed there for a while. Like,
oh, I was hot-headed
places.
Long time.
Like,
I was hot-headed long.
Yeah, and that was holding you back because there are other entities there that are afraid of you for that. And I mean, look at Anna. She didn't want you in her room. Look, I'm hot-headed too, but you have to learn how to just not with them.
Right.
Like, with mortals, it's easier than it is with spirit because you don't have a second chance always.
Right, right. Now, the two things I wanted to get into, we got about 20 minutes left. The first thing was the location as a whole, the building.
Mm-hmm.
Is this just a generic setting that this needed to take place in, or is this a sign of someplace I myself or we as a team may go to, or something like that?
Well, okay, let me ask you anything about the setting. At any point in the setting of your dream, did you have any furniture or anything that seemed pre-1960?
Pre-1960s?
Yeah, before 1960.
I would say the sink in the kitchen.
Okay.
I would say the chair, the school chair that I was sitting in. And
what year was that from?
I would say 40s.
Okay.
And the sink, I mean, that sink, that could be 20s, 30s, I don't, you know. But that's about
right.
It. Everything else, more
60s, 70s?
Yeah.
Okay. And would you have been not born yet in the chair that you were originally seated in?
When that was first made, no, I would not have been born yet.
Right. Okay. Now, the rest of the dream where it's kind of like the childhood aspect, would you have been born? And a child.
The couch and the oversized chair, yes. The carpet, yes.
But see this, do you see how it progresses in the dream?
Filling, yes. What's that?
It progresses in the dream. For like ages, it actually progresses on up.
Right.
It's like this is all the adolescent child stage. Like, the child stage is all the way up until, like, the shoelaces started shooting straight out. And even that, like, the oversized, would you say they were? They were oversized something? Or other,
was,
like, you would put
almost,
wood in?
It was almost a wine rack that was big enough that it wasn't, you know, because a wine rack would be a little bit smaller, so
right.
A bottle would fit in, but not much else. These, it was the shape of, say, a wine rack, you know, that crisscross thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you put, it was oversized, meaning you fit shoes into it, not bottles of wine.
But they do that at, like, Chuck E. Cheese, at the trampoline park, all places
right.
for kids, they have these big, oversized areas. McDonald's used to have it for the outdoor play area.
Right.
Like, you put your shoes in it, and it's shaped sort of like that. So that's part of the childhood stage, to me. It's just, I don't know. That's just where my interpretation goes, is it's a journey coming up, and it's sort of like a premonition in that fact, but it's more information. And to me, that...
It was, maybe we could describe it as maybe a foreshadowing of my maturity as far as my interaction with spirit goes.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I mean, even down to the blank kitchen. The blank kitchen was also part of what I would consider like the childhood chunk of the dream. And what
That's
do it. Children, what do we do as children? We make our mark. But that was, the kitchen was out of place, but it was part of childhood.
Right.
That was your place to make your mark. Like, it was very blank. It was very white. It was very canvas. Just a beveled edge cabinet, older, but you get to, it's blank. It's everything in there can be changed. Is pretty much
right.
What you dreamt.
And see, now, with you describing this to this point the way you have, I get the sense that I did make a mark in that kitchen, whereas before, when those cabinets were banging and crashing and everything like that, and I saw that that younger girl that was there would have been getting scared and stuff like that, that I would have started, knock it off, you're scaring her, and you know, that typical hothead challenging
right.
thing that I used to
but
do.
But you didn't in
but
the dream.
Doing that, just calmly walked up and put my hands on it and was excited and happy about it, you know?
Right.
So me making that mark saying I'm not that anymore, this is how I'm approaching it now.
Right. It's a very, rather than being aggressive and heightening the situation.
Right.
It's the other approach. And I think it's the other approach that you're going to excel
at.
What
made her to me?
Well, it opens up spirit, I think. I really do. It's just a different aspect.
Jim, now that you've heard, you know, I told you when I first got home from school the whole thing, what do you think? I mean,
I am not really keyed in with dreams because I just never have them. They've never really been a part of my life. I mean, I'm sure spirits sometimes had messages for me. I'm out of it. So I don't have any ground ball. Wish I could help you on that.
Well, I just wanted to see if you had any input as to, you know, just logically, like, I think a lot of the stuff that Haley is telling me, and that, you know, her and I talked a little bit before the show, that a lot of that makes sense. I'm not familiar enough with those types of things, because she's been seeing these types of signs her whole life, to know to interpret it the way she has. But now that she explains it to me, the things that I remember from this dream and the way she's explained it make absolute sense to me.
It could have been too, there's a lot of personal things going on. And I honestly think that it could be somehow related to that. That being a personal message, one-on-one, I don't know. I guess if I delved into anything, I'm wondering any of those things that be representative of a major life change. There's several of them that are suggestive of that. And the only thing I guess is the thing that sort of befuddles me is how you woke up right before this message. And what is, well, anything from that, Haley?
Yeah, he's not to that point yet. He's not to the point
ready,
to get to the message
basically
yet.
Basically, the way she described it was everything that happened, that's the spirit guide had determined that I was ready to receive that portion, but the message itself, I have not progressed far enough in this, this puzzle.
I don't think the dream was all that you've gone through. I think that the dream was,
right.
like, say, you're in the middle of it and you have the rest to go through. Like,
right. And
you know
just,
what I mean?
I've not received that. I haven't progressed far enough to be ready for that message yet.
And you got
a
large part of the message as well.
All the detail work. I mean, I think maybe you go in and you look over that over the next couple of days, and some of that stuff might come home and bring a message to you. And I would even go as far as to suggest that you pray about it and that you get a greater source of understanding if there's relevant information there, or like I said, something that's of that importance. And I got to believe it is, because to remember all that detail and the hairs, the wave in the hair and the shoestring sticking out straight and every nothing else. I mean, that's extraordinary. I just want, like Haley said about spirit guides, I just think, and I've been having feelings. I talked to you about it, that, you know, there's significant changes. I mean, this is not going to be an easy year for us. And I don't think it's anything we can do about it. I don't think it's anything we've done or brought on ourselves. There's a number of factors that we have no control over, and it's going to affect us. And I think all of that stuff's keyed in. And I guess it's just, I've been really working to try to get a little stronger physically and spiritually, just so I can get along in the year and not get rolled over by the year.
Right.
So, yeah, I have a general anxiety about this year.
How about you, Haley?
I will be honest. I think that Jim's right. This is a year of change. But I'm not feeling anxious about it. Like, it's not easy to get through. And you can look at, astronomically for that. You can look outside of dreams. But, look, it's not going to be easy for anyone. It never is.
Right.
But there are signs that are given, and you can splice them either way that you want. But the main point is to just be aware of them, to try to understand them, to know when you're getting a message, when you have a super vivid dream. That's a message. And the first step is knowing that, you know. So I think you can cut it down, but yeah, that's it.
I'll be honest with you. I think for me personally, this is going to be a tough year. I don't think it has anything to do with the team or anything like that. I mean, just personally, I think, and I really hate to say this out loud, but I have a gut visceral feeling that I'm going to lose my father this year. I hope I'm wrong, but I just have a feeling that he's decided that he's got enough done that the fight isn't worth it anymore. And there's another person that I'm not going to mention his name because I don't want to, you know, put his business out there. But there's another person that I know very well who has got some serious health concerns. And I do not think this year is going to be very good for him either.
Yeah.
But aside from those personal things, as far as our team and the things we're going to do and the opportunities that are going to come for us as a team, I think are going to be a big positive. I think there's going to be a couple of doors that might actually open for us as a whole. And I think it may not be till maybe the second half of the year, but I think that a lot of the turmoil that our team has gone through in the past, say, year or two, because of outside factors, is going to finally kind of drop off and be left behind and drop. That weight's going to drop off of us, and it's going to allow us to take big leaps forward. I really do.
Well, that weight's been dropped off.
Right.
Like, I don't. But yeah, I mean, I try not to care too much about rumor. That's why I have the friends
that
I do.
But not just that, but just things in general, I think, are going to take a big upturn for us. And I feel, Jim and I had been talking about something that we were thinking about looking into. that I think would be beneficial to the team as a whole. Mm-hmm. We have not sued it yet, which is why I haven't sent anything to you, simply because it literally right now it was in an idea, what do you think about this idea stage?
Right, yeah.
So, but I think, you know, if it's something, you know, Jim and I think would be a good idea, then we'll bring it up to you and Janet and see if you guys think it's a good idea. And if you agree, then, you know, then we can push it forward. But I think if we, I personally think if we did, it would be really big. And if it took off, it would open a whole lot of avenues for not just us, but the people around us that we trust. You know what I mean? And I think it would be really big for the team. So,
I think we should all write a book together. Like, I know Jim wants to write a book, but trust me, I've had some weird stuff happen over the past few months that's pretty freaking awesome. Maybe not a book, maybe a blog.
All right, well,
let's not go to book. Book's a lot of work. Let's do blog.
Right? Well, that's the thing. The idea that Jim and I were talking about, it may be you telling that story in a completely different media. So, and I'll bring you up to date on that. I'll give you a call tomorrow when I get home from school and
all right.
Fill you in. But I want to thank you again for calling in last second, saving
yeah.
my butt.
No problem.
And really opened my eyes to this. Like I said, when I woke up from this, I didn't know why, but I knew that it was this dream. I remembered all of that detail for a reason. I knew it was something important, and I knew I had to figure out why, but I didn't know how. And that's why I'm glad I have you, someone like yourself on the team that can help me do that. So,
I wake up to that multiple. I wake up to that every single night.
Right.
This is why I'm scattered, my friend. But yeah, I understand,
right.
And it was definitely a. It was important.
It was. I agree. So thanks again. And like I said, I'll give you a call tomorrow when I get home from school and let you know what, you know, this idea that we were thinking of. And
awesome.
Get some from you. So you have a good night.
Okay.
And take care of them boys. And I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Good night, guys.
All right.
Good night, everybody. Bye.
Let me, before we end off, just in the next week on the two-hour format, you've got Janet Jones
okay.
coming on board. And then 2 weeks after that, for the next two-hour format, we have Kristen Lee.
Okay.
So that'll be our next two
okay.
Two-hour shows.
All right. So next week, the two-hour show, we will have team member Janet Jones coming in. And then 2 weeks after that, we'll have owner of the Bel Air House, everybody, for tuning in. We really appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed the show. I know I enjoyed it. It meant a lot for me. And we'll see you next week on Doorway to the Dead.